Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
How y'all doing? I know Memphis is doing good. It's good to have him back here today. He told me out in the cafe, he said, I'm going to preach the gospel. He did say that he felt like giving up working out a couple times. I don't know if you follow him on Facebook. It's called Memphis Ride if you follow him on Facebook. And he goes and gets worked out every day at a special therapy place. And he said, I felt like giving up. But he said, I'm not going to let the devil win. And I just thought, oh man, that preaches right there. That preaches. That's a good word right there. You can't let, you know, the devil wants you to give up. He wants us to quit. Just quit. Stop believing God is good. Look around you. Look how bad things are. And it's like, oh no. This is not quitting time. This is a good day. You stand with me. I feel like we just need to do. I know you've been worshiping and standing. But standing is good. Father, we invite you right now to move upon every heart, because you know every heart here. Bless these wonderful people. Pour out your Spirit in unmeasurable ways. Anoint us with your oil from heaven. Give us your eyes and your ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Matthew 5:17-20 says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one title will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus goes on, and as he goes on, he begins to lay out some of the laws that are instructed, and he lays all that down. And in verse 43, he continues, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Wow.
Very next section in chapter 6, he jumps up the law. I don't know how many of you ever read this, but he brings it up a notch. He's talking about adultery. He's talking about various other things. And he brings it into a level where it goes to the heart of the matter instead of the acts. If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? I got a word downloaded to me that I'm going to release. And I feel like it's a very powerful word, but it's a very intense word. And it applies to you, and it applies to me. And the reason I say that is that a lot of times when we hear things, we think we're hearing for somebody else. I can remember sitting under sermons many, many years ago, and it wasn't me speaking, obviously, at that point in time. And the preacher would be speaking, and I used to look around the church and see who wasn't there, and I used to think, they should be here to hear this. This sounds like what they need to hear. And it would almost be like I would omit myself from hearing what was being said. I feel like today, this word that was put on my heart is for us, for the body of Christ, for the worldwide church of the living God, for people who call themselves believers, who call themselves followers of Christ. So I'd submit this to you. I'm very cautious how I do this. I don't like ministering, thus says the Lord. I know that there are some people that don't have a problem doing that. But I like to be able to say, I have this impression that God is saying something to the church today. And it's an impression that I feel is inspired. That's a crazy way to start this. Don't. Keep away from the criticism and the cynicism and the political spirit. We're coming to a time where it's getting to be election time, and we have both parties, and anyone that's running is going to demonize the other to try to get your vote. And I feel like even in the political season, we look for people that we can support, ideas that we can support and stand behind. And we want to get behind those. And a lot of times what ends up happening is we make enemies of people. And when it comes to social media and when it comes to pointing things, I'm saying this, and I don't want to point anything out, and I don't want to build questions in your mind. That's not what this is about, but for years I've been getting messages on Instant Messenger of how bad things are and how the world's coming to an end, everything's falling apart, and a lot of times it's tied to a politician. I feel like the Lord has a higher standard for His church. I really do feel like there's this call to us to walk in the matters of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this earth. Now, I don't want to take away anybody's voice or say you shouldn't have a voice. Just be careful how you use that voice. I'll just do a confession. Years ago, I got caught up into Facebook and all kinds of political upheaval before 2016, is around 2014, and I started posting all kinds of stuff on. I regret posting those things today. And I realized that's a venue, that's a place that can easily be misheard and misrepresented and misinterpreted. And out of the goodness of my heart, I was just posting what I thought was right. But in posting what I thought was right, I was discrediting what others thought was right. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies. And this is what I feel so strongly in the heart of Jesus. It's like the church today, in a lot of ways, is having a hard time just loving the church. Believers today are just having a hard enough time loving other believers. And there's this line of separation that has to be drawn. And I just feel really strongly that we're wanting, okay? I know that you want it, and I know that I want it, to create a culture where everyone feels accepted. Everyone. Oh, I just can't accept that. I get it. But can we work at that? Can we work at how that might sound like to someone who doesn't think like we think or act like we act or live like we act, believe like we believe? And I feel like the Lord is really tweaking hearts. There's just like this, I know it's within myself too. I want to love everyone. Is that okay? I want to love everyone. It doesn't mean I have to agree with everyone. I just want to love everyone. I want to be able to look. I want to be able to look at who the political boundaries might deem as an enemy, and say I love them. They're not my enemy. Last week I preached on the body of Christ being one with one another. And this kind of piggybacks off of that. That you, look around here. I don't see anyone in here that looks like anybody else. We all are different sizes, different shapes. And I know I said that last week. Some of us have more hair than others. God bless you. I'm jealous for those that do have more hair than me. But we are all together people. All of us unique. And there's this spirit of hatred and anger that is so prevalent today. It's just there. And I just caution you guys. Just caution. Take caution. Be careful. Don't get caught up into it. Those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. I know that there are certain mindsets that people have that they think their theology is the only heaven theology. But I'm telling you, heaven is so vast and so big. I used to think that only a few remnant were going to be able to make it in through the pearly gates. I'm going to be so shocked. So shocked when I get there. I was raised as a young boy believing that if you weren't holy enough, you weren't going to make it. And you had to walk holy and you had to do everything exactly right, or you weren't going to make it. And I can remember being in eighth grade, pedaling my 10-speed bike through Redding, California, with my short cutoffs and my long boxer shorts hanging down, pulled down beyond my short cutoffs. And my parents heard about it. They were members of the Bethel boards, and people called, "Did you see your son? Your son was riding down Redding with his boxer shorts hanging out of his shorts." Oh, boxer shorts. And that, you know, it got back to me. I don't know what my mom and dad told those people. I really don't know. But it got back to me, and I said, "What's wrong with that? My boxer shorts were down to my knees. I'm covering everything up." That you might be sons of your Father in heaven. So love those who have boxer shorts. Oh, maybe it's different today, right? I don't know if you've seen it, but they pull their pants way down, you know, strutting along. It's whatever, you know. It's like whatever. What we believe is so important, not just to us, but to those that we have around us that we're impressing upon. What you and I believe. We have an interesting dynamic in our family. We have a variety of believing in our family. And one of the... I'm going to be careful how I say this, but so no names will be mentioned. But one of the dynamic conversations that we have around family tables at time is Bigfoot real or not? Is Bigfoot a real thing or not? Sasquatch, you know. And of course, I grew up in Sasquatch area in Northern California, so I had heard all the stories, read the newspaper articles growing up as a kid, you know, about Bigfoot and whatnot. And we had this strange dynamic because the conversation could get pretty heated around the table. And I've been a skeptic. I really have. I've been very skeptical. I don't know why. Maybe because I was raised around all the, you know, stories in high school. "Hey, did you hear Frank and Joe were out by Clear Creek the other day and they had a .22 and they saw a Bigfoot and they shot him?" Maybe that's why. And maybe it's because all the pictures are always blurry. Maybe it's because nobody's ever captured Bigfoot. There could be a lot of reasons. I'm giving my bias, okay? But I still love my family. We don't completely have an agreement yet. I started watching a Sasquatch show.
Yeah, you're starting to believe now.
No, you think I'm starting to believe. I'm still not in that area yet, okay? This is just because I'm watching the show doesn't mean I believe yet. There are things that we believe, and we can allow. I mean, I can allow people in my family to believe in Bigfoot. It's not going to break or make the world. They don't allow me not to believe in Bigfoot, but I can allow them to believe in Bigfoot. I think someone has a higher measure of love than others, but I won't say who. And I think there are all kinds of things to believe today. All kinds of theories, conspiracy theories are out there. They exist. They're real. It seems like when COVID hit, it just unlocked Pandora's box. And it was like all of a sudden all these conspiracy theories start becoming real. And when you first read them, you're like, "Oh, no way." And then a few months later, you go, "What?" But when it comes to this, when it comes to faith, when it comes to the matters of your heart and my heart, It is so much better to believe the best in others. It's so much better, you guys, to love one another. It works. I was reading through Amos and Obadiah this week, and Amos, amazing prophet, and God is giving him, he's giving him Israel's last word. He's basically, God is telling Amos, I'm done with them, going to wipe them out, going to send other nations, just totally destroy them, there's not going to be any lamp left, he's going on and on, and poor Amos, Amos is a prophet, and he's the one that's going to give this message to Israel. And so later on in the book, he pleads with God. God, forgive. Forgive. And you know what God says? I forgive them and relent from everything I said. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. That's an entire nation that had gone away from God. They were practicing abominable things. And the prophet says, God, forgive. And I believe that's the word that the Lord wants us to walk in. If we allow ourselves to fill up with critical attitudes and biases and superstitions and conspiracy theories, if we allow our heart to fill up with all of that, we're contaminated a very precious thing that God gave us. And we end up hurting ourselves more than we hurt anybody else. Are you guys with me? Because, this is a challenge. I'm telling you, it's a challenge today. It's a challenge to love. It's a challenge to love. It's easier to get angry and hate and criticize and pass judgments and throw rocks. It's a challenge to walk in love. And yet, it's what we're called to. And it's the best thing for our heart. 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. It's the way of love. I've done a lot of weddings. I think it's 67 weddings altogether that I've done over the years. And one of the scriptures that I always read is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. The story of love. How powerful love is. It's powerful, you guys. Love will get results. Love will get results. Far greater than criticisms, anger, and hatred. You understand, outside of these walls is where reality really takes place. I mean, reality is happening in here too. It is. But outside these walls, when we leave this place, there are people all around us. There's some people that just thrive on pushing your buttons. They thrive off of it. That is digs. There's situations and circumstances that just want to dig, get a reaction of anger and criticism from you. And Jesus said that we must exceed the righteousness. We must go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And what did they do? They hated Jesus. They hated his message. Because his message was to love, and they'd rather stew in their anger. And I know that's not the case for anyone here. I'm saying the days are coming, I believe, this is where the word comes. The days are coming when it's going to intensify. And it's going to get more intense. There's going to be more reasons to criticize, more reasons to be angry, and more reasons to have hatred. It's like the devil just is bringing it up a notch. And there's going to be this big vortex that just tries to suck us in. We live like children of heaven. Sons and daughters of God. Who feel that it's better to be persecuted and misused. Live and walk in love. I was recently, just yesterday, sitting out on the deck in the morning with my cup of coffee. It's a beautiful morning yesterday. I was sitting out on the deck, and it was so easy to love everyone. It's just so easy. I have my Jim's organic coffee in my hand. Nice, cool fall morning. Looking out, watching all the birds, and it's like, oh, my heart's just so full of love. And then I went on Facebook. Dang, wrecks it every time. Can you all stand together? I felt this morning that it would be really awesome and fun. And I felt like the Lord was saying, it's good to have a love tunnel done today. So we're going to have a fire tunnel. We're going to form a tunnel. And just before we do, our ministry teams could come now. The elders could come. And those of you who we've invited before to be in this tunnel, come on up. You can gather. And as we do, I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, wow, put the bullseye on us. You know what we need. You know what everyone here needs. You know who we are as individuals, and you know who we are as a body of Christ. And we desire to be the children of heaven, to react the way children of God react. And we just pray you just put a bullseye in each of us, Lord. Just, you know what, just bless us, God, however you want to bless us today as we go through this love tunnel. If you just want to deposit so much love on us that we can't even contain it anymore, then so be it, Lord. Deposit, deposit, deposit. But as for our hearts, we receive all that you have. I pray that people would be healed as they go through this tunnel. I pray that forgiveness would flow, that there'd be a release of anxiety, and that peace would come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.